Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit. Our Lady, Queen of all saints, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Okay, so we're on page 5, volume 23, December 8, 1927. My daughter Louisa, the Immaculate Mary, was the little light of the human stock because the human earth was her origin. However, Our Lady was always daughter of the light because no stain of sin entered into this light. So again, Louisa was born of original sin. Our Lady is the Immaculate Conception. So again, this is very important. Never in any of some people during Louisa's time said to Louisa, you're making Our Lady not as beautiful as she is. And Jesus said, in nowhere in the writings is Louisa greater than the Blessed Mother. And if they have read, they will see very clearly that Our Lady is Our Lady. She's the mother and queen, whereas Louisa is the little daughter. And that's what we have to understand, too. This is why we do our prayers every day, the Virgin Mary and the King of the Divine Will during this month of May, because Our Lady teaches us how to live in the Divine Will. And we have to remember that the first six steps of how to live in the Divine Will are the first 6 days found in the Virgin Mary and the King of the Divine Will. And if we, don't spend time reading the Virgin Mary and the Kingdom, at least spend time knowing these 6 steps that Our Lady taught Louisa of how to live in the Divine Will. So, Jesus says, but do you know where all Our Lady's greatness is? Do you know who gave Our Lady sovereignty? Do you know who formed seas of light, seas of sanctity, seas of grace, seas of love and of beauty and of power inside and outside of the Blessed Mother? My daughter, Louisa, what is human does not know how to do great things nor give great things. So the celestial queen would have remained the little light had she had not put her human will as though aside, which was the little light. Had Our Lady not let herself be invested by my divine will, dissolving her little light in the divine will, which is the divine will is not a little light, but an endless sun that investing Our Lady completely formed oceans, seas of light around the Blessed Mother, seas of graces, seas of sanctity, which embellished Our Lady so much as to render Our Lady all beautiful with all the shades of the divine beauty, such as to enamor God who had created her. So again, this is the reason why we have images of Our Lady around our home, statues of Our Lady inside and outside of our home. Why? Because we want everyone to know that she is our mother, she is our queen. She has divine beauties. God is enamored by what he has created in the Blessed Mother. And we love the Blessed Mother. We, especially during this month of May, we want to make sure that she is crowned as queen. We want everyone to know that she is our mother. She is our queen. Her Immaculate Conception, though beautiful and pure, was always only a little light. It would have had neither the power nor the sufficient light to be able to form seas of light and sanctity if our most holy divine will had not invested the little light of Our Lady in order to convert this little light into a divine sun. And if the little light, which was the human will of the Celestial Virgin Mary, had not contented itself with becoming dissolved in the Son, the divine Son of the divine Fiat, to let itself be dominated by the divine will. So here, Jesus shows us that, the Church looks at Our Lady, how she is beautiful, she is pure, she is the Immaculate Conception. And Jesus says, this would not have done anything to bring Jesus to the earth. The Immaculate Conception is not the greatest thing. The greatest thing is Our Lady living in the divine will, which makes the Immaculate Conception even greater. Now, that's what God wants to do with us. He wants us to share in divinity. That's what our God is asking of us, that we share in divinity, which means where that drop of water put into the chalice filled with wine, the priest says, may we share in the divinity of Christ. It's not oil and water. It's a drop of water put into a cup filled with wine, and that drop of water becomes wine. May we share in the divinity of Christ. It's not just to participate like a particle of Jesus, but to enter into the life of Jesus. See, the saints were called to know, love, and serve God. Louisa was called to know, love, and possess God. Mutual possession, God possessing Louisa, and Louisa possessing God. That's what the divine will is, and that's what God wants to do with us. He wants to show us how to live in the divine will, which none of the saints knew. The saints knew how to do the will of God, but to live in the will of God is now our job. So you can imagine the saints wanting to live at this point, how the saints wanted to possess this gift. They knew something was coming, but it wasn't for them. It wasn't time for them. They did not have Louisa. We have Louisa. And not only that, since 1996, we have all the volumes. Since 2005, we've had them in English. And now, 11 years later, we have the opportunity to read and study everything that Adam was supposed to teach his children. If the new Adam, Jesus, gave this to Louisa, dictated this to Louisa so that we could learn how to do this. So it's not, I've heard some people say, all you have to do is desire the divine will and you possess it. It doesn't work like that. The desire is necessary. But to read this and to study this and to put this into practice is the life of living in the divine will. So you have to read. And God has given us time. We don't know how much time we have. We're here only a short time on this earth. But he's asking us, would you use your time wisely? Would you use this time, like going back to being a Catholic on Sunday? You can keep holy the Sabbath, or you can make it another Saturday, like the rest of the world. See, we say we want to be faithful and obedient to Christ and his church. We want to keep holy the Sabbath. And again, you'll be mocked by your family, your friends, your neighbors, your co-workers, your parishioners. You'll be mocked by everybody. Why? Because they have compromised. And they want you to compromise. And you can't compromise. That's one of the first things we learned in the seminary, not to compromise yourself. This, if you compromise yourself, you compromise everybody else. And that was the main test we had in the seminary. And what we see very sadly is the people compromise. And, you know, you can't give the faith to your family, your children, your friends, your neighbors, if you've compromised the faith. See, we're called to be faithful and obedient Catholics. Why? Adam was unfaithful. Adam was disobedient. And he lost this gift of the divine will. So God is asking us to be faithful and obedient. So if we're faithful and obedient to Christ and his church, the crowning of his church, Jesus says, is this gift of the divine will. It's the triple crown, Jesus says, of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And, you know, it's very interesting that the saints, the mystics, have said years ago, centuries ago, that the pontifical, what do you call it, the mitre, the what's the triple crown of the Pope? Is it the papal tiara? Yeah. The papal tiara is in Washington, and if you go down into the crypt of Washington, if you turn around, as you're facing the crypt, turn around and look behind you, directly behind you is the papal tiara in a glass case. The papal tiara was given to the Immaculate Conception Church by Pope Paul VI. It has been not worn since Paul VI. And the mystics say that this papal tiara will be given back to the Pope. And you think about this, you go, how do they know? the Pope wouldn't have it. Well, it's this triple crown, Jesus says, is the first person next to Louisa who has this crown will be the Pope. He will be crowned with this triple crown. And then all the children of the divine will be crowned with this triple crown. See, this is the glory of the church. This is the new springtime of mankind. And our God is asking us to understand the situation that we're living in and to recognize that God is calling us to live in His kingdom, not on earth. See, this is the great surprise for most people. We are called to live in eternity. We're not called to live here in time and space. This is our punishment. Our bodies get old, wrinkled, gray-haired, and we die. That was never part of God's plan. God's plan was that we live eternally young as God is eternally young. That was God's original plan. Death was no part of God's plan. Death had nothing to do with humans. Why? Because in paradise, there's nothing dead. There's nothing inanimate. Everything in paradise is still living. As a matter of fact, the animals that were in paradise at the time of Adam and Eve are still in paradise living. That's where we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be in eternity living the divine life rather than being here living a life where the scripture says our body is food for worms. No, our body is to be one with the glorified body of Jesus, the glorified body of the Blessed Mother, the new Adam and the new Eve. See, what's coming to the earth, no eye has seen, no ear has heard. What's coming to the earth is going to astonish the world. What is coming is so beautiful, it's so holy, that when we look at the church in the new era, what we will see is the glory of God. We will hear the angels singing during Holy Mass. And we will participate with all the angels of heaven, as well as all the saints. Because heaven is coming to earth. May your kingdom come on earth exactly as it is in heaven. This is what Jesus has planned. And our Lord and our Lady are trying to get us ready. So what is happening here? God goes into ecstasy when he looks at the Blessed Mother. Why? Because she shares in the divinity as not only as Mother of God, but when you look at the Blessed Mother, you see God. You see the daughter of the Father, the mother of the Son, the spouse and temple of the Holy Spirit. And if you say you have the Holy Spirit without the Blessed Mother, it's not true. There's many spirits out there, but there is the Holy Spirit, and Our Lady is the spouse and temple of that Holy Spirit. So when you have Our Lady, and this is what St. Louis de Montfort says, you go to Jesus always through Mary. This is how to get to Jesus. Now Jesus says, to get to Jesus and my mother, you have to go through Louisa. It's a whole new beginning that's coming. So Jesus goes back to talking to his mother. He says, Our Lady's Immaculate Conception, though beautiful and pure, has always a little light. It would either have the power or the sufficient life to be able to form seeds of light of sanctity if our divine will had not invested the little light in order to convert Our Lady's little light into a divine sun. And if the little light, which was the human will of the Celestial Lady, had not contented itself with becoming dissolved in the sun of the divine fiat, to let itself be dominated by the divine will. So this is, again, the drop of water put into the cup filled with wine. That drop of water dissolves into the wine and becomes wine. Same thing here. We are nothing. Our Lady is nothing. Our Louisa is nothing. Yet, Jesus says very clearly, the human will had to become dissolved in the divine sun of the divine will, the divine fiat, to let itself be dominated by the divine will. So this is what we want too. We want to be that little nothing in order that God can reign in us. This goes way beyond vocal prayer, meditative prayer, or contemplative prayer. It goes way beyond this. What Jesus is asking us is to be dissolved in Him, to participate. You take a drop and you throw that drop of water into the ocean. That drop of water becomes the ocean. Everything in the ocean belongs to that drop of water. From the lowest point of the ocean to the farthest point of the ocean belongs to that drop of water. That's what Jesus wants. He wants us to share in divinity. He wants us to enter into Him. And this is, again, another reason why you should have spiritual direction. And again, find a priest that will do this for you. Now, the wonderful thing about this gift of the divine will, it is given to priests, not to lay people, to be taught. Father Bucci says, since this is the first bread, like the second bread, the supersubstantial bread of the Holy Eucharist, it would be foolish for a lay person to stand at the altar and say, "This is my body." It doesn't happen. The ontological change that happens with a priest makes this happen. God obeys the priest. What Jesus is now asking is that this gift of the divine will be given to the priests who will proclaim it as the first bread. Unfortunately, today there's many people who say they want to teach the divine will. And I say, go to the seminary and become a priest. You know, if you become a priest, then you have the right to do this. Otherwise, you're giving them a bread that doesn't have life in it. It doesn't work. So, the same thing with spiritual direction. Find a priest that you can, there's certain things you want to watch. If he prays the rosary, if he spends time in front of the Blessed Sacrament, if he is faithful to the teachings of the church. I mean, he doesn't make up his own prayers during Holy Mass. If you see those three things, then you could say to him, "Father, this is a book I'm reading. Could you help me with this?" And if he says no, say thank you. And go to another priest. "Father, this is the book I'm reading. Can you help me with it?" And then give him the book. And say, "On page such and such, I read this, and it sets my whole soul on fire because what I see God doing." And what you're doing is you're introducing to the priest the divine will. And then he will teach you. See how great God is. You're the one that's introducing him to the divine will, and he's the one that will teach. That's how our God works. It's each person has a duty and responsibility. And when we listen to the Lord, great things happen. A sheep cannot protect other sheep. It does not work. A sheep, when a wolf comes, cannot stand and fight the wolf. He'll be killed. It's the same thing. The shepherd takes care of the sheep. This is how God planned it. This is what God wants. So our job is to say to the priests, say to the bishops, "I'm reading this book and I really want to know more about it. Can you help me?" And if the priest says yes, and most priests will, then what happens at that point, you introduce them to the divine will and the Lord will speak through the priest. See, what happens with priesthood at the ontological change is when you are ordained, you receive power, angelic power, from the choir of powers. That belongs to the priesthood. It's not for the lay people. So when somebody gets up in the pulpit and gives a nice homily, "That was a great homily, better than Father's," there's no power there. I don't care how nice it is, there's no power in that homily. There's nothing that will transform a soul. Everything comes through the holy angels. And when the priest preaches, the angels are there. They are in command of the angels. And when a layperson says, "Well, I want the power of the priesthood," it's not to be have the, a power for yourself. It's to give this to the lay people. So when a priest preaches, it is the angelic powers that are being sent out, which convert souls. It's not the priest's words. I don't know how many times you know, in prayer, I've said, you know, Lord, you direct what I have to say. And somebody comes up afterwards and says, wait, when you said ABC, it changed my life. I said, I never said ABC. Yes, you did. You said ABC. And I said, no way. That's not part of my lingo. But what happened was the angels explained to the soul ABC, and it changed their life. That's the power of the priesthood. And this is what's so amazing. The ones who are to give this gift out are the lay people. The priests. Sorry. It's the priesthood that's supposed to be this, not the lay people. So, again, it's not that the lay people are bad. It just doesn't work. Put a sheep in front of a wolf. You can't stop the wolf. Put a shepherd inside in front of the sheep, and it will stop any wolves that come towards it. This is what we have to learn. God set it up this way. And how glorious is our God. So, I mean, if I wasn't a priest, I would make sure I would know priests. I would be with priests. Because it's what I see is the power of God that is given to the priesthood at ordination. So Jesus says this about Our Lady. Our Lady dissolved herself in the Son of the Divine Fiat to let itself dominate her. And it's the same thing with us. This is what we're learning. We're learning to give our fiat in all things. And when we give our fiat in all things, how glorious is this? This was the great portent, the kingdom of my divine will in the Blessed Mother. And with the kingdom of the divine will, everything Our Lady did became light. Our Lady nourished herself with light. Nothing came out of the Blessed Mother that was not light, because Our Lady had the Sun, S-U-N, of my divine will in her power, which was such that Our Lady could draw from this Sun as much light as she wanted to draw. Unlimited light. And since the property of light is to diffuse itself, to dominate, to fundicate, to illuminate, to warm, this is why the height of the Sovereign Queen, with the Sun of my will, divine will, that Our Lady possessed, diffuse herself in God. And dominating God, Our Lady swayed God to descend upon the earth. Our Lady became fecund of the eternal Word. Our Lady illuminated and warmed all of mankind. That's Our Lady. See, God saw in her God. Why? Because of her being dissolved in God. Being that drop. Do you see why the priest says that every day of Holy Mass? May we share in the divinity of Christ as Christ humbled himself to share in our humanity. And that drop of water symbolizing us hits that cup filled with wine, fuses and diffuses, and becomes wine. That's what God wants. He wants us to diffuse ourselves in God. Why? Because he wants us to possess him. It's mutual possession. We possess God and God possessing us. This is why Lucifer fell. Lucifer fell because he saw the virgin with child would be God. This human would be God. He said, I will not serve, I will not obey. That's why his decision gave him hell. Because to have happiness is to be one with God. To have joy is to be one with God. And the devil said, I will not serve, I will not obey. And all he had left was spite. He hated God, and he hates God's children. And that's why he's trying to kill us. Our job is the greatest gift. The devil can't have his way with us. When we live in the fiat, you become free of worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, and sin. This is what God is saying. He's asking us to be dissolved in the Sun of the divine fiat. And this is why when we give our fiat in all situations, we are peaceful, full of peace, joyful, full of joy and happy. We have heaven on earth. And this is what God wants to give to us. This was the great port, the kingdom of my divine will in the Blessed Mother. And with the kingdom, everything Our Lady did became light. Our Lady nourished herself with light. Nothing came out of her which was not light. because Our Lady had the Son of my divine will in her power, which was such that Our Lady could draw from this Son as much light as she wanted to draw. And since the property of the light is to diffuse itself, to dominate and fecund, to illuminate, to warm, this is why the height and sovereign of the Queen Mother Mary, with the divine Son of my divine will that she possessed, diffused herself in God, dominating Him. She swayed God, Jesus, to descend upon earth. She became fecund of the eternal Word, Jesus. She illumined and warmed all of mankind. That's our Blessed Mother. That's why we crown her. You know, that's why we, if we have a statue of Our Lady, put a light on her at night if it's outside. Let the world know, this is my mother. This is my queen. If you have a statue, make sure she's crowned. She's our mother. She's our queen. Volume 23, December 18th, 1927. My daughter Louisa, my celestial mama, possessed by most holy divine will, Our Lady was so filled with the divine will as to overflow with divine light, so much so that Our Lady's waves of light rose up into the bottom of our divinity and making herself the conqueror by the power of our divine volition that Our Lady possessed. Our Lady conquered the Celestial Father. Our Lady captured the light of the Word Jesus into her light. Our Lady made Jesus descend into her womb, and with the same light that Our Lady had formed by virtue of my most holy divine will. This is Our Lady. She conquered God. And again, as Catholics, we understand that. The priest obey our God obeys the priest. When the priest says, "This is my body," God obeys. When the priest says, "I absolve you of your sins," God obeys. And so as Catholics, we understand this. Our Lady did conquer our Celestial Father. She did conquer Jesus. She is the and this great outpouring of the Holy Spirit, Our Lady is going to bring that about. She is the spouse and temple of the Holy Spirit. Again, she says, "In the end, my Immaculate Heart will triumph." Again, this is where we are. As Catholics, we know this. As Catholics, we rejoice in this. Our Lady asks only three things. She says, "Wear the scapular, pray the rosary, and keep holy the first Saturday." That's all she asks. And when you wear the scapular, when you pray the rosary, when you keep holy the first Saturday, you're doing exactly what Our Lady has asked. She's asking us to do more. The Church says, make sure that you spend at least Sunday with Holy Mass. Okay? This is what our Lady asks. The Church asks that we spend at least Sunday doing it. That's the minimal requirement. So what does Our Lady say? One more day during the month, spend at Holy Eucharist, spend at Holy Mass. So she's trying to encourage us to make Holy Mass our life. John Paul II said that. He says, the greatest prayer is the Holy Mass. The second greatest prayer is the Rosary. And that's why he gave us five more mysteries. We get to see Jesus through the eyes of the Blessed Mother. We fall more in love with Jesus through the Holy Rosary. Again, some people say, "Well, I'm in the divine will. I don't have to pray the Rosary anymore." Well, they don't know Louisa. You look at all her pictures. Almost all her pictures, she has a rosary in her hand. Jesus told her that the Holy Rosary will bring the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. And that's our job, our duty. Wear the scapular, pray the rosary, and keep holy the first Saturday. Jesus says very, very clearly, I could never have descended from heaven had I, Jesus, not found our own, this is the triune God's own light within the Blessed Mother, our own will reigning in the Blessed Mother. Had it not been so, it would have been like descending from the very first moment into a foreign house. But I was to descend into my own house. I was to find a place in which to lower my light, my heaven, my countless joys, and the Celestial Sovereign Lady, by possessing my most holy divine will, prepared for me this dwelling, this heaven, in nothing dissimilar from the celestial fatherland. Is perhaps not my holy divine will what forms the paradise of all the saints? So here, this is what God wants. He wants us to re-enter into heaven and re-enter into paradise, re-enter into the Garden of Eden. And you see this in the beginning of volume 26. What does Jesus say to Louisa? In volume 26, the very first day, he says, "You, Louisa, are the third Eve." Not the Eve, the tempter. Not the Eve, the deceiver, the destroyer. But you are the restorer of this life. So we get a glimpse of Adam and Eve, and then Jesus and Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve. And now Louisa is the third Eve, and you need a man, and that's the Holy Father. He has the keys to the kingdom. And this is what's coming. With Louisa, he's going to open the door of the kingdom, and all will enter into it. This is what he says in the last chapter of volume 24. It's very clear. We are living in exciting times. So as the light of my divine fiat drew me into Our Lady's womb and the light of the Word descended, the light dived together. The lights dived together, and the pure virgin queen and mother, with few drops of blood that she made flow from her burning heart, formed the veil of my holy humanity around the light of the Word and enclosed it within it. But my light was immense. And while my divine mama enclosed its sphere within the veil of my holy humanity that she formed for me, she could not contain the rays. They overflowed outside, and more than sun, at its rising from the heights of the sphere, spread its rays over all the earth to trace the plants, the flowers, the sea, and all creatures, to give the effects that its light contains to all, as though triumphant from the height of the sphere. It looks at the good it does and at the life it infuses in each thing it invests. And then Jesus said, "And so did I." More than a rising sun, from the veil of my holy humanity, the rays that overflowed outside kept tracing all creatures to give everyone my life and the good that I, Jesus, had come to bring upon earth to each one of them. These rays from within my sphere pounded on each creature. They beat down strongly to tell them, "Open for me, take the life that I have come to bring you." See, it's not a human life. It's not a life that is limited. It is endless, eternal life that God wants us to live in. This is why I mean, don't limit God. What Jesus is saying here, we should all be responding, "Fiat, fiat, fiat. I want what you are giving to us. Open for me," God says. "Take this divine life that I have come to bring to you." Our response should be immediately, "Yes, I want this." See, don't limit God. A lot of people say, "Well, that's really nice, but I really, how am I going to do it?" God says, "Fine, it can't be yours." He's looking for fiat. He's looking for, "Yes, I want this." Why? Because you want this, Lord. And what does he say? He says very clearly, will you be willing to go through the martyrdom of martyrdoms? And we immediately say yes. And then we say, what does that mean? And then he says, don't do your human will anymore. Give your fiat to all things. Be attentive to everything that you think, everything that you say, everything that you do, so that God is alive. Don't live a simple human life. Begin to live the divine life of Jesus, the divine life of Mary, found in Louisa. "This sun of mine never sets and still continues to follow its course, spreading its rays, pounding and pounding on the hearts of the human wills, on the minds of creatures, over and over again in order to give my divine life to the children." That's what God is looking for. Can we say yes to him? Can we say, "I want this with my whole heart, mind, and soul"? Then he's going to say, "Prove it to me." And that's where the practice comes in. You put into practice what you have read that week. You put into practice what you have learned that day. It's not just speed reading through it. You know, it's to let God talk to you. It's to masticate each word. Each word from the Word of God is filled with divine life, divine light, divine love. And as you taste this, as you enter into this gift, you can't be the same anymore. See, Jesus is changing you from doing the will of God like the saints to living in the will of God as Jesus and Mary did. That's what they gave to Louisa. And that's what God wants from you. He wants you to say, yes, I want this. That's all He's asking. Open for me. Take this divine life that I've come to bring to you. Do you want this? And our whole being should scream, yes, fiat. Volume 23, December 30th, 1927. Jesus made Himself seen in my interior as a little child clothed with divine light in the middle of a field while taking some light from His lap and sowing it in that field with many little drops of light, all silent, all intent on the work. Now, it's interesting that when Louisa was a little child at Torre Desperado, she would be seen playing with this little boy playing with her. Two little blondes running around in this field. And it was Jesus. And here we see He brings her back to that spot in her interior as a little child. Jesus is there and she is a little child. You know, this is, you're going to learn a lot about Louisa. She's that one time when she was at Torre Desperado and the field was on fire and the parents, oh my goodness, they ran with buckets of water to put out the fire. And as they ran over the hill, this huge fire, there was no fire at that point. It was Louisa sitting there, symbolizing the great outpouring of the Holy Spirit. This is what's coming. This great outpouring of the Holy Spirit. We're never going to be the same. We can't be the same. As the apostles weren't the same after the first Pentecost, the second Pentecost that Pope John the 23rd prayed for is going to happen. And how glorious this is going to be. In seeing that I was surprised, Jesus told me, my daughter Louisa, all that you think now, you have thought from the time you were writing the 16th volume, that I would cease to speak about my divine will. But while I was doing nothing but sowing the field of your soul with the many drops of divine light that germinated and fecundicated in your field from the little lights that I have turned into divine suns, these divine suns are many surprising manifestations that from that time until now I have made known to you about my most holy divine will. So here Jesus is saying to Louisa, you've been afraid since volume 16. Here we are in volume 23. And all this time, I've been getting you ready for what I'm teaching you now. And it's the same thing with us. As you read, He's preparing your soul. As you read and study, He is getting you ready. All that He asks that you do is read. That's all He asks. And see, He, Jesus, the Word of God, speaks these words to your soul, and it's a transmutation that takes place in you. It's something that the saints only dreamed of. He says, I'm going to take this little light, and I will turn this little light as you read and turn it into divine suns. These suns are the many surprising manifestations that from that time, volume 16 until now, I have made known to you about my most holy divine will. Oh, how beautiful was the field of your soul invested by these suns, one more beautiful than the other. It transformed completely into a divine field. All of heaven was enamored by this field, and in looking at it, heaven felt its happiness being doubled. In you, Louisa. This is what God wants to do with us. He wants us to allow Him to change us so that all of heaven rejoices. All of heaven falls in love with Louisa, and now all of heaven, Jesus says, wants to have a double happiness. Now, the one who was sold has the right to harvest, and since it is a divine field, I am. He uses his name. I am the owner of it. Not only to harvest, but to sow again. See, there's no end to this beautiful harvest. And so I am doing nothing other than sowing it again. Don't you see how I am all intent on the working and the sowing seeds of light into this field, so that as they germinate, new divine sons of the knowledges of my divine will may come out. Oh, and work brings silence, and my silence is warmth, maturing, and fecundity, in order to transform the little seeds of light into more refulgent suns. Again, Luis is using human terms to explain divine realities. Again, it's this is why you read and reread. How do you explain the color red to a blind person? How can a blind person who's never seen the color red explain to a person who's never seen red the color red? This is basically where Louisa is. She's using human terms to explain divine realities. My silence is warmth, maturation, and fecundity in order to transform the little seeds of light into more refulgent suns. As you read it over and over, what happens, God expands your capacity to understand what he's saying, what Luis is saying. So if you don't get something the first time, don't worry about it. You'll say, okay, Lord, you're going to show me what this means. And as you are persistent in studying, God will explain it to you. But if you're a stick in the mud and say, well, I don't understand what this means, and I'm not going to go any further until I... That's where you stay for eternity. You cannot continue. You have to be docile. You have to be little. You have to be submissive. And you say, okay, you have to show me what this means. 3 pages later, maybe a chapter later, there's what it means. And you go, oh, that's what it means. And see, it's... You cannot understand supernatural realities with human terms. Jesus has to touch your mind. He has to touch your heart. He has to touch your soul so that he can explain to you what this means. But don't think that you can understand this at first. It's not going to happen. You know, I've seen people read this and just throw it out and say, I don't understand this. It's too complicated for me. No, it's not complicated at all. This is the simplest of simple. And as you are one with God in prayer, God explains it to you. So let him have his way with you. Let him see your bewilderment and then say, okay, you got to fix this. You got to help this poor little pea brain that I have so I can understand what you're saying, Lord. And watch what he does. See, it's, you know, when you speak to a little child about things that are beyond the child, it's so delightful to explain little by little. This means this. The kid goes, oh, okay, bye. You know, and then later on, you know, they'll say, now you said this. How does this mean? What does this mean with this? And you explain a little more. And so this is what God is doing with us. He's teaching us step by step. You know, if you don't understand it the first time, the second time you read it, it'll be amazing. It'll be amazing. Louisa says, then I continued my acts in the divine volition, and since it was the rising of the day, I said to my lovable Jesus, your divine will envelops everything, and oh, how I wish that just as the sun rises and invests all the earth with its light, so may the sun of your holy divine will rise in the intellects, in the words, in the hearts, in the words, in the steps of all souls, past, present, and future, so that each of them may feel the sun of your fiat rise within herself, and letting them be invested with its divine light, everyone may let the dominate and reign in their souls. See, that's what we pray too. We pray that everyone can embrace this. Everyone can live this. At that moment, my sweet Jesus moved in my interior and told me, my daughter Louisa, in the soul, there are two characters, the human and the divine. The divine descends from the divine unity of the triune God. In order to receive the divine character, the soul must live in the unity of my divine will. In this unity, as the soul forms her acts, they rise in the unity of her Creator, and that single act of God is such that while one act alone is formed in God Himself, the light of the single act descends down below, and then it invests everyone and everything. And embracing everything then can give to each soul the act that is needed by multiplying it to infinity. And the multiplicity of everyone is possible, and then all imaginable acts are possible. See, this is not human. This is what God is asking. Are you willing to enter into this life of Jesus, this life of Mary, that's been given to Louisa? Then you must begin to live in the unity of the divine will. See, it's not to live this human miserable life of worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, and negativity of sin. No, Jesus is saying, let go of that. Now let me lead you to live my life. See, this is not good or holy or saintly. This is divine. And that's what God is asking. Are you willing to allow me to be the Lord of your life? Are you willing to allow me to breathe in your breathing, to beat in your heart beating, to pray in your praying, to gaze in your gazing? Will you allow me to truly be the Lord of your life? And when we say fiat, let it be done, watch what God will do. So we'll end there in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.